One, two, here we go. So firstly, well done Ireland for winning the rugby. Got to be gracious, don't you? But it was an interesting game, shall I put it that way. I also had another bad weekend. Chelsea lost 4-2. So it's not a great weekend so far. And again, we just want to really apologise to you today about the heating. We've been trying to get it fixed the last 3 weeks, and for some reason, it's still not. So it's quite cold. So we just hopefully move around a bit to keep warm if you need to. So if you want to turn with me to Matthew 13 as a beginning point. And we're continuing the series on the parables. And we looked at a few parables over the last few weeks. We looked at the parable of the sower. We looked at the parable of the mustard seed. We've looked at the parable of the weeds. And this evening we're looking at the parable of the hidden treasure. And so I want to remind us again what parables are. And then I'm going to lead us from this point into talking more specifically about the parable. The disciples come to Jesus and ask him, they said, Jesus, why on earth do you speak in parables? And he says this, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has been given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. So in the telling of parables, Jesus is revealing the kingdom of God to those who have ears to hear. In the telling of parables, Jesus is revealing the secrets of the kingdom of God to those he chooses. And to remind us of what parables are, one of the definitions is this. A parable may be defined as a simple story that illustrates a profound truth. So for instance, the kingdom of God is like, Jesus described the kingdom of God like yeast being mixed through dough. You don't see it, but it's forcefully advancing. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God being like a mustard seed. It's the smallest seed, but becomes the biggest tree in the garden. Jesus describes the kingdom of God like someone finding treasure in a field. It's discovered by accident. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like someone who's already collecting pearls, but is looking for the ultimate price. They're willing to seek until they find the pearl of great price. In the telling of parables, Jesus was casting seeds of revelation out to anybody who would listen. Anybody would have ears to hear, anyone would have eyes to see. And each seed that God spoke was packed full of the kingdom of God. And it was not conditional on the seed that was spoken, but on the place, the soil, on the heart where it landed. You see, the parable reveals the truth to those who are hungry and thirsty. But to those whose hearts are callous and hard, they cannot see or hear. That is why Jesus says this, though seeing they do not see, though hearing they do not hear or understand. And so what Jesus is saying here with this, with the parables, he wants all of us to see the secrets of the kingdom of God. They're for everybody. But the condition upon seeing the things of the kingdom locates, it always goes back to the heart. And God is looking for us to have soft hearts in which we can hear what God is saying to us. In the telling of parables, Jesus was speaking to anyone who have ears to hear. And now I'm going to read the verse in Matthew 13, verse 44. It says this, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. And so in the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price, we see two means by which people discover the kingdom of God. One was, it was discovered by accident. They're going upon their everyday lives and suddenly they found this great treasure. The other one was through a long patient search. The person was looking for this incredible pearl. And as Jesus said, those who seek will find, those who knock on the door, it will be opened unto you. And so let's look at the parable of the hidden treasure. So firstly, we have a man who's working the land, and he stumbles upon this amazing treasure. And so in this story, he'll be doing what everyday people would have been doing in those times. And we can understand this story is this, that he obviously wasn't a landowner, but he's working on the land. So we can make an assumption that he was a worker who's just working the fields, and many people in those days did. But when he's working the land, he comes across this incredible treasure. And what does he do when he finds the treasure? Thank you, Paddy. What's that? He does. He buries it in the ground. Thank you, Paddy. Fantastic. You're listening. Brilliant. Well done, good and faithful servant. And so well, he buries the treasure in the ground, and then it goes on to say, he hid it again, and then in his great joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And so even though he was poor, with great joy he sold all he had in order to secure the ownership of the land. And let me explain why that is. You see, if he had found the treasure and the land didn't belong to him, the treasure would immediately go to the landowner. So he wasn't silly, was he? So what he did, he sold everything he had, and it says with great joy, he went and bought the field. And by buying the field, the treasure he found was his. And so the heart of the parable describes two things. The person who finds the treasure discovers something tremendously valuable by chance. And secondly, in his great joy, the person sells everything in order to possess the treasure. And often the reading of this parable is on this line. And I think this is one my wife challenged me on, and I think I actually agree with her, which is obviously we're working together towards the same thing. But this is very interesting because often this parable is read in this way. The emphasis is the man paid incredible sacrifice in order to secure the treasure. We kind of think that's amazing. He laid down everything he had. He purchased that field with. He gave up everything in order to get that treasure. And that's one reading of it. And that's one you hear many times. But I'd like to offer another one. Rather, I think it should be, is what he sold in order to secure the treasure was incomparable to what he now inherited. Can you see the difference? When we compare what God offers us and what we offer him, they're two very, very different things. We think by selling everything for this treasure that we're just an amazing sacrifice. But we forget the incredible inheritance we have through the treasure that God gives us. See, when I met Jesus, I felt like I had got a promotion. My life was a mess. I was stuck in a rut. Not playing rugby, stuck in a rut. My life was stuck in a rut, and my life was going nowhere. So what was I going to give up to secure the treasure? Rubbish life? Was that what I was going to offer? That's all I could have offered to secure that treasure. And when I was thinking about this story, I was amazed, for me, was this, that how Jesus seems to be able to reveal himself to us through really ordinary situations as well as difficult times. In the parable of the man working in the field, it was just a normal day's work. He had no expectation that anything in his life was going to change. But why would it? This is what you've done for years and years and years. In the story of the woman in the well, she was about her daily business. She's walking through the desert every morning on her way towards the well, Jacob's well. She did this week in, week out to provide water for her community. She had no idea on that day she was going to meet with the Lord. But it's on that journey, that ordinariness of life, that Jesus met her on that road. And it was on that journey that Jesus revealed himself as the one who's the promised Messiah, but he also showed her where she could find living water that would well up to eternal life. She had no idea on that day that she's going to meet the Lord. The man in the field had no idea that his life was going to change. The two walking away from Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus, after seeing their hope for the future being shattered as they heard of the crucifixion of death of Jesus, they had no idea that Jesus was going to meet them on that road of disappointment. They had no idea that they were going to meet with Jesus himself on that road where everything had fallen apart. And the shepherds on the hill tending sheep, a normal day, had no idea that the angel of the Lord was going to appear to them and say to them, "Today a Savior has been born." And so I want to encourage you this evening is this, that whatever your situation is at the moment, whatever your life is, whether you've got it's working well, whether life is mundane, or whether you've got no idea about your future, Jesus can meet you where you are. Thank goodness for that, hey? Isn't that incredible? He can meet you where you are. And in my experience, I never quite know when he's going to turn up, but I always know that he will turn up. I always know his timing is perfect, and I know when he turns up, something's going to change. I was working in a job in London, and by some people's standards, it would be a good job. It wasn't by my standards, because I didn't particularly enjoy doing it. And I was working in an editing facility, and we used to edit programs like Watchdog, Health Check, Challenge Anarcha, which just shows how old I am. Exactly. And it was a job that was had great opportunities in TV and all those kind of things. But while I was there, I felt the job to me was mundane. It was that every day, week by week, we spent hours and hours in the editing suite. I don't know how, if you enjoy sitting from the computers, which I don't particularly, but sitting in one of those for about 12 to 16 hours to cut a program is actually quite boring. And I was just thinking, how long am I going to be stuck in this rut? And I thought, is there any way this is going to change? Because at the time, I did not know what I was going to do next. And so in the back of my mind, I felt the Lord say to me that I want you to go into full-time Christian ministry. And I kind of thought that was a nice idea, but I had no idea that this could ever be a reality. And I'm always of the opinion that most people are called to be involved in ministry, but also to get a job, because I think that's kind of how it works for a lot of people, and I think that's probably how it should work. But anyway, I was in the job, unhappy, and I was driving home as I always did, different times of night. Sometimes I drive back late at night, sometimes I drive at different times. But I was driving home. And as I drive home, I'd always put music on. And one particular time, I was putting a particular, just, I'll say a CD, but it's probably a cassette. You can tell how old I am. And as I was listening on the radio, it was a cassette, all right. I suddenly, the words of the music that I was listening to became illuminated. You know, sometimes when you suddenly hear something, suddenly beforehand, you suddenly think, oh my gosh, that is speaking to me. And that can happen through seeing pictures, through painting, through creation, through a word that someone speaks. But this particularly happened through this song. And the words of the song started off with this: deep in my soul, there's a tug of war. I'm struggling to know what this life is for. I try so hard to stay in control, to hold back the tears, to not let go. I don't know why I hang on so long when I know the question you are asking me. And the question is this: will you worship, will you bow down before your Lord and King? Will you love me, will you give me your heart, your everything? And so as I heard that, I just felt the Lord was posing a question to me. Are you willing to do this? Are you willing to give you my heart? Me to give him his heart. And in this song, it even gives a turning point here. It says, right here and now I make my choice. With all my love, I will answer you. And this is the response to the question: I will worship. I will bow down before my Lord and King. I will love you. I will give you my heart, my everything. And as I heard that song, I felt the Lord say to me, John, I want your heart. I want everything. I don't want just a bit of you. I want the very thing of who you are as a person. And in that instant, I said to the Lord, I will give you my heart. And I did not know when I said that question what the implications of that. And the Lord says, I want you to lay down that relationship you've had for the last 2 years. I thought, how dare you? I thought I was going to marry that person. But the Lord says, I want your heart. The Lord said, I want you to lay down this job. No problem. And then in that, I just said to the Lord, I said, you know, if I'm going to do this, which I will do because you've asked me to do this, please can you give me an opportunity where I can get away from the situation I found myself in so that I can go away, deal with the situation of having to lay down this relationship, but also be able to, you know, really push into you. And so, amazingly, the Lord opened up an opportunity for me to go out to America for a year to work in a church in the vineyard out in America, where I had the opportunity to explore to see whether I was called to full-time ministry. And in the process of laying down my heart and those things, I'll tell you, it was an incredible painful period of time. It wasn't easy. It was really difficult. And it was very painful, and it was like going through grief. But over the 2 years, the Lord healed my heart. The Lord reestablished my heart. And what I thought at the time was a massive sacrifice actually turned out not to be a great sacrifice after all. Because I've got the most amazing wife now. I've got the most fantastic family. I've got a fantastic job in which I love. I'm incredibly fulfilled. I've got a future and I've got a hope. And what I thought was my treasure that I'd laid down, what I thought I said, Lord, I want to buy this field, I'm going to give you this, actually wasn't as big as I thought it was. It was hard and it was painful at the time, but what God gave me far outweighed anything that I've ever laid down in my life. Jesus, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, where is your priority, there is your treasure. So as I want to wrap this up, so how do we live our lives? Do we live our lives as one who has discovered the treasure? See, Jesus paid the sacrifice so that we can have the treasure. He's provided all access to heaven, all access to the King. And all access to the healing power of Jesus as well, so that when we do go through difficult times, he can bind up the brokenhearted. He can set us free. He can help us deal with these things in our life, which are incredibly painful at the time. But I've always known these things don't last forever. And the consequences of living our lives with God's priorities is that we see the world in a different way. We see what we can contribute to the world, and what can we give to the world? We can be generous, kind, and thankful people. But when we find the treasure, we still have a choice, don't we? We can bury it in the ground, and it kind of just goes back in there. We might not even bother buying the field. We kind of forget, we just think we've discovered something. It meant a lot at the time, but now I've forgotten it. Secondly, we can spend the treasure on ourselves. So it's about me, it's about what I want, what I think. You know, is the Lord blessing me, this and the other? Or we can spend our treasure on behalf of others. And I think for me, that's the thing I've learned. As we spend our treasure on behalf of others, we get blessed. It's an incredible thing. And I think what we try to do with this church is to see how we can bless the city and the community outside this place. That we can bless the young children in the flats. We can bless the old people who come along to our bingo. That we can bless those who find themselves in prison. That we can bless those young men by providing a positive outlet through rugby. We can bless the 20s and 30s through momentum on Sunday nights and all those kind of things. We can bless the local community. Because the treasure is not just for us, it's for them. Because we want to show them the treasure and point them to where they can find the treasure. Because what has been amazing to us is also amazing to them. But they don't know about it. And I'll leave you with one story. Paddy, who's over there and a wonderful friend of mine as well as a colleague, He was has spent 10 years building a relationship with the local community through his personal involvement of visiting the flats and with working with teams in the flats. And he was visiting the other day into one of the tougher complexes, and he knocked on the door, as he does, to tell people about Kids Club on Saturday, and a person came to the door, and the first thing they said to him, "I'm really apologise, I've been drinking." And Paddy goes, "That's fine, that's great, you know." And so so because he's not judgmental at all, and that's what Paddy's like, they invited him into their house. And they were sitting around in the front room, sitting there drinking beer, and they were beginning to talk about these last few years. And over the last few years, as a group of people, they lost 8 people in their family who they loved through one way or another. And in that particular situation, Paddy was able to share with them about the love of Jesus Christ. And even though they're going through a very, very painful time, that Jesus could be there in the midst of them. And he was able to pray with them. And because God had provided a way, that 10 years had provided an opening to that door. And that day, they suddenly saw there's treasure that before they thought there was no hope. And that's a wonderful thing about the message that we have and the message that we own as sons and daughters of the Most High God. It's an incredible heritage we have. Let's not waste it. It's an incredible heritage we have. Let's share it with those who do not know Jesus. And what we want to do this evening is, it's quite cold, so I think it'll probably be quite good to stand, just to warm ourselves up. And the Lord's already been speaking to me today, and it was very much this morning, and I think it's very similar to this evening as well. Is that some of us have found ourselves on roads which are kind of, they seem to have no resolution. And the roads are mundane because it seems to be the same thing happening every day, but there seems to be no way out of that situation. And you see, Jesus meets us on those roads. The woman at the well had no idea. Her relationships were all over the place. She struggled with broken relationships. But Jesus was able to provide that living water to restore her. The shepherds, who are the outside of society, Jesus revealed that Jesus had been born in the city of in Bethlehem. The man working the field had no idea that he was going to find this great treasure. But I want to encourage you this evening, Jesus has not gone away. And that Jesus wants to meet you on whatever your road is. And he wants to meet you on whatever the situation you find yourself in. And I believe that, you know, we want to pray for you tonight, that we can stand with you, that God would reveal himself to you. So what I'm going to do now is invite the Holy Spirit to come. And I want to invite you forward, those of you who are on a road that seems to have no destination. It seems to be like the road to nowhere, but it's not the road to nowhere. It's always a road to somewhere. And Jesus wants to meet us on that road and to help us to find that place that he's called for us. I also want, for those who are on a road that's particularly difficult, Jesus met the people on the road to Emmaus who were incredibly distraught because of what had happened to Jesus, and they had no idea that he was going to be raised again. And so they were living this tension of being unresolved grief in their lives. And so there are two areas, one of the road to nowhere, but also the road where God wants to break into that place of pain. And so, Lord Jesus, we just want to welcome your presence here tonight, Lord. We just thank you that you want to meet with us, your people, Lord. We thank you that you have great treasure for each one of us here this evening, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you want to bind us up, that you want us to be able to recognize that you are with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with us in the road. Even though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, you are there with me. Lord, you say, I will not leave you or forsake you. I have a future and a plan for you. So all these things are saying that God is with us. I am the good shepherd. I lead you beside, you know, still waters and green pastures. So we have a wonderful God who wants to lead us along good roads and good places. And I just really believe the Lord wants to minister to that this evening, just to encourage us. And I don't want us to be too shy, just to continue being on that lonely road, sitting in your chair and just thinking, well, that's not for me, or I don't feel like stepping forward. We just want to encourage you to step forward. The reason why we ask you to step forward is so that we can pray for you in a space where chairs are not in the way, and so that we can be attentive to you, and so that we can listen to what God is saying to you, and that we can be give you the time to pray with you. And so I'm just going to ask the Lord now to come, and then I'm going to invite you forward, and I'm going to invite the ministry team, and we're going to minister to those, as I've said this evening. So Lord Jesus, we welcome the Holy Spirit to come to us. We thank you that you're the Spirit of truth. We thank you that you're the counselor. We thank you, Lord, you lead us into all good things. And we want to welcome you here tonight, Lord. We want to welcome you into the different situations we all find ourselves at different times. Sometimes we have seasons of knowing where we're going. Sometimes we've got no idea where we're going. Sometimes, Lord, every door we try and open seems to be shut. Sometimes we're paralyzed by pain and things that stop us walking on that road. And so, Lord Jesus, this evening, I want to pray that you would come and set us free, Lord, that you would come and build and encourage us now. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So I just want to